Now.
Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
This is the Patriot Games Radio Show. Susie, Barbie, and yours truly, Keith, will bring you the show every Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Patriot Games' purpose is to save this great nation from the grips of communism and all the other isms that took the nation. And now, the Patriot Games.
Hello, America. This is Susie of the Patriot Games. Today is June 3rd, 2010, and we have lived another year in this nation. Not that that's absolutely a good thing, but we're finding out more and more the bad things that are going on and who's controlling us. Most everyone in here realizes that it is the Jewish agenda, that they're controlling the banks, and they're controlling our media, they're controlling our government, they're getting away with murder. Whether it's the USS Liberty or it's the flotilla, they're getting away with murder. They're killing Palestinians, and that nation needs to go. I don't know if it's going to be us, because as I was talking with our guest a little while ago, William Fink, there's really no one we can talk to here. So we are the people, and it is up to us. Now, we have many, many people in the room tonight, and I apologize to you guys. I probably won't be able to keep up with all of the dialogue, but I can see that you're very, very excited about the man that I have tonight, who is an authority on the Bible and on classical history. So I would like to introduce to you William Fink. Sir, how are you tonight?
Hello, praise Yahweh, and everything in history is not what you think it is because you've been lied to all your life.
Amen. Amen. Now, you're going to talk to us because I want to rile people up even a little bit more than they already are. But you're going to talk to us about the classical history. You're going to relate the history of the Jew and the white man, which we call the Israelite, to what's happening today, because we're going to get into what's happening today. It's very important, and I want to know what your views are on that. But very quickly, I'm going to play a clip. It's only almost 2 minutes of Bobby Fischer, and everyone knows he was an astounding chess champion, and he's also Jewish. And he, like Brother Nathaniel, they're very anti-Jew thinking. So let me play this tape of Bobby Fischer, and then we'll talk.
A few notes on the Jew. Jews are antisocial, destructive, intolerant, mean-spirited, deceitful, etc. They wish to destroy, ruin, kill, rob whoever gets in their way. To facilitate them getting what they want, they have developed a perverted, unnatural, destructive, evil lifestyle. Even though they live off of the non-Jews as parasites, they still hate them and wish to destroy them. Jews hate nature and the natural order because it's pure and beautiful, and also because it's bigger and stronger than they are, and they feel that they cannot fully control it. Nature's beauty and harmony stands in stark contrast to their squalidness and ugliness, and that makes them hate it all the more. Jews are destroyers. They are anti-humans. The anti-human Jew hates and wants to destroy all non-Jews. He will also destroy even other Jews who are less destructive and evil than he is if they get in his way. Apparently, the wickedness of the Jew is genetically based. Jews are destroyers. They are anti-humans. By the act of circumcision, the Jew shows his hatred towards nature and the natural order. By this bloody, cruel, senseless act, he shows his cruelty and sadism, and that he will stop at nothing to obtain his ends. Surely the Jews are also behind Islamic circumcision, which serves as an ideal cover and distraction from their own wickedness in this regard. Jews are truly anti-human and anti-nature. Jews are intensely selfish, intolerant, and antisocial, etc. They are full of hate, greed, malice, etc. Naturally, other people the non-Jews don't like being bulldozed aside, robbed, and murdered by the Jews, and will sooner or later resist. That is when lies and deceit of the Jews come into play.
All right. Bill Singh, do you have a comment on what Bobby Fischer just said?
Well, I have a lot of comments. I hate to agree with a Jew in the first place, but sometimes you just have to. And Candid is remarkably Fischer. Fischer is remarkably candid there. Now, I personally have no empathy for Arabs or for Islam. Understanding history, I understand that the Arab people and the Jewish people are very close genealogically. They're both descended from the Canaanites of the ancient scriptures, and they are both the enemies of the white race. The word Arab is actually a Hebrew word, and it means mixed. And it comes from a verb which means to grow dark. The original Hebrews were white, and they were our ancestors. If you're a European, you have a mostly Hebrew ancestry. I could prove that beyond all doubt in history. Now, they perceived growing dark as mingling with the non-white races and becoming dark, and they called you an Arab, which can mean to grow dark or to be mixed. And that's clear, and even in Strong's Concordance, and that can be fully demonstrated. Now, the Arab people have been, I do believe that Islam is a Jewish religion. This Muhammad character had Jewish scribes. He had Jewish wives. He lived in a community with many Jews. And if you read Edward Gibbon, the Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, Gibbon even postulates that Muhammad had Jewish blood on his mother's side. Now, whether he did or not, it is arguable. However, the fact that he came in contact was deeply motivated by Jews and had Jewish scribes is almost without historical doubt. Now, Islam is, to me, a Talmudism for the masses. Okay, the book is a fraud. I can demonstrate historically, religiously, that it's certainly a fraud. It's ripped off from snippets of the Old Testament mixed in with snippets of Hebrew apocryphal literature and a lot of BS labeled layered on top of it. Now, I believe that the Jew created Islam in order to militarize the masses of heathens against Christendom. And it worked very well. The Jews led Moorish armies, Arab Islamic armies, into Visigothic Spain and destroyed it. The Arabs and the Turks united against the Byzantine Empire in the east, Christendom, white Christendom in the east, and basically destroyed it. They occupied Greece and the Balkans for 500 years until the British finally ejected them. So we see that the Arabs have been used as a tool against us by the Jew, and still is this very day, because the Jew has set up this false struggle in the Middle East. Because the Jews could have wiped out every Arab in the Middle East 30 years ago. No problem. They had every bit of capability to do that. But they didn't. They want to keep it going. They want to keep the agitation going. We are being trained in our minds to hate the Arab in Palestine and in Mesopotamia, but to love and accept them here. Now, what's up with that? That's just crazy. All of our Saxon nations are being overrun with Islamic Arab immigrants. France, Britain, the United States, Germany, and Germany, the Turks figure largely too. And in France, it's Arabs and Algerians, but they're all Muslims. And they're overrunning us at home. We're being forced to accept these people, and then we're being forced to pay for wars against these people in the Middle East? Don't we see the dichotomy there? Don't we see that there's a serious conflict in thinking there? And the Jew, that is the Jew using the Arab, just like he used the Arab against us in the 8th century in Spain, and the 9th through the 13th through the 18th centuries in Greece and the Balkans and Eastern Europe, he's using the Arab against us today, just in a slightly different manner.
Yes. Let me tell the people again, because my guest is William Fink. And his website is christogenea.org. Now, very quickly, before we get back into the background of the Jews, you also have, do you have a .net where you discuss the New Testament, or did I read that
wrong?
Well,
yes, I have a christogenea.net. It's basically there to support. It's a virtual private server. It's down as we speak. I'm looking into that.
Okay.
But it's a 24/7 virtual private chat server. It's
excellent.
And people can go to christogenea.net and look at the connect page for instructions on how to connect. I have christogenea.org, and christogenea.org probably has a dozen related websites that are all
right.
You know, tied together. I have a Mein Kampf project, which is my attempt to resurrect 19th and 20th century history. And to show the Jewish hand behind the destruction of Christendom, and which I believe culminated in World War II. And World War II gave the Jew total victory over the Christian nations. Ever since World War II, the Jew has controlled every single one of the Christian nations. That they thought they were going to do it in World War I, and Adolf Hitler came along and stood in their way. So they had to destroy Hitler. And they enlisted us to murder our own Saxon brethren in Germany, and we played the whore for the Jew, us and the English, there's no doubt, and we've been the whores for the Jews for 100 years anyway, and that's are the great whore of Scripture, and the Jews are the dragon that gives the beast its power. That's
well,
the,
yes, but Bill, you know, you say that, what the United States has done, but we're not talking about the United States that was originally founded. We're talking about the people now that are in our media and in our government and are controlling the strings. So, you know, whenever someone says our government, I say, but this isn't our government anymore.
Well, right. It hasn't been since 1913. It hasn't been since the Woodrow Wilson administration. This country was founded as a Christian nation on Christian principles. The Jew has used our ideals of liberty against us to infiltrate and usurp our government. And as they get control, and as their control becomes more total, as we've seen the last 20 years especially, our liberties disappear.
Yes. Now, what good is it going to do people to find out that they are enslaved today? Will that set us free?
Well, what will set us free is when we stop embracing the enemies of our God and the enemies of our race, because that's who the Jews are. They're not the people they say they are. It's a very convenient history. Just like they destroyed, infiltrated, and have destroyed America today, and I count it as just about destroyed from what it originally was, all right? It's not beyond being rebuilt, but, you know, the last world was rebuilt with eight people. They also infiltrated and destroyed Judea 2,100 years ago. And by the time of Christ, Judea, which was once a white nation, and certainly an all-white, exclusively white religion, Judea became a multicultural polyglot of Judeans and Edomites, and it's these Edomites who became known as Jews. None of them were ever Judeans. They were never Judah. Judea at the time of Christ was a Roman political demarcation. It was a political unit. It was not a nation. And that political unit had peoples of several races in it, Canaanites, Edomites, and true Judeans. And the Edomites are descended from – the Jews of today are descended from the Edomites of the Old
Edomites.
Testament.
Now, where did Galilee fit into all of this?
Well, you know, when all right, well, we would have to go back to about 1500 BC to get the whole story. And you know, the Greek classical writers, they write. I mean, Diodorus Siculus in his 38th book, he writes about certain cities being founded by the Hebrews who did not depart Egypt with Moses, but rather crossed the sea and founded the Danann settled in the Peloponnese and founded what we know as the Mycenaean Empire and the Mycenaean culture. The Trojans were Israelites who settled in Troy. These people came from ancient Israel. And the Trojans later founded a colony in Italy, and Rome became its principal city. So the Romans actually descended from the Trojans. This can be elucidated in the Bible and in classical histories. And I have papers on my website to do that. So we see that the Greeks, now the Dorian Greeks came from Palestine, from Dor, which was a city controlled by Israelites, three generations after the Trojan War, and conquered the Peloponnesus from the Danans, who were driven north, and eventually became Boeotians and Macedonians. Now Britain and Ireland, I'll try to be real quick. Britain, Ireland, the coasts of France, the river valleys of France, and most of the Iberian Peninsula, or the Hebrew Peninsula, that's what that means, Iberian, and which is today known as Spain, was settled by a people called the Phoenicians, who, it can be well established, were the northern tribes of Israel, Asher, Gad, Naphtali, and Zebulun. And this can be established right from the Bible, and from history, and from language. Now this was, early Europe was settled by other white people before this, but this was the origination of the nations that we know in Europe from classical history. They supplanted those other white tribes and came to dominate over them. And the most dominant of the most notable of the ancient white tribes that weren't Israelites are the Ionian Greeks, who were centered in Athens. Now the Assyrian deportations come 800 years after the Exodus, and those people are taken away to the cities of the Medes, and they become known by the Assyrians as Cymri, and the Greeks call them Cimmeroi or Cimmerians, and to the Persians they were known as Saka or Sakans, and that later became Saxons. However, it was the Cimmerians that crossed into Europe first. And the Cimmerians traveled down the Danube River Valley. They crossed Phrygia. They destroyed the ancient Phrygian Empire. They killed off the famous king known as Midas from history. They sacked Lydia, and they crossed the Bosphorus, and they traveled down the Danube River Valley into what we know today as France and northern Germany. And the Cimmerians are the Celts, where the Phoenicians are the proto-Celts. And the Germanic tribes, which came later, were called Saxons by the Greeks because they learned about them from the Persians. But the bilingual Persian inscriptions prove that the Saxons and the Cimmerians have the same origin in the children of Israel of the Assyrian deportations. So we see that the Israelites settled Europe for many hundreds of years before the deportations, and then after the deportations, the tribes that migrated into Europe, which became the Germanic branch of our race, are also descended from Israelites. They just were separated by 700 or 800 years and degrees of language and some culture. Now that's basically how Europe was settled. I mean, the story's a little more complicated than that, but that's the basic settlement of Europe and the development of the white nations of Europe, and that is the reason why we accepted the Christian religion, as foretold in the prophets. Now, all of this that I'm saying, I can talk for weeks and basically prove every part of it from the prophets and from the classical histories and from the Assyrian and Babylonian inscriptions.
It seems to me, from what I read and what I know and what you just said, that it was the power of the writing. It was the power of the books. Now, as far as I know there were a lot of things written even in Asia, but we all know the Old Testament. So who really wrote the Old Testament, and who was it for?
Well, it was
the Israelites.
The Old Testament was written by a series of Israelite prophets, and it was for only the descendants of the children of Israel. Now the Genesis chapter 10, and I have a paper on my website called The Race of Genesis 10. Genesis chapter 10 is basically a snapshot of the white races that existed circa 3000 BC. And it's upheld, and once it's understood and once the chronology is understood, it's upheld by archaeology 100%. There were no Germans
so the Israelites,
in 3000 BC. There were no Englishmen in 3000 BC. No. They had to come from somewhere. And these people that call themselves Israelites and Hebrews and the people of Mesopotamia, you know, they're absolutely white people. The Arabs that live there today are not the original inhabitants. They are the result of the remnant peoples left behind having mixed with people of other races, whether voluntarily or involuntarily. And we see in the 6th century that Arabs ran through Mesopotamia. I'm sorry, in the 7th century A.D. We see in the 10th century A.D. the Mongols and the Turkish invaders. And that's why those people have the characteristics that they have today, because they are basically a composite of several different races.
Mm-hmm. Now, you had said everything was sort of messed up from about the year 700 on. So why are we acting today as though the Jews are causing the white race to be destroyed? I mean, this isn't anything new. And what then is going on?
Well, the Old Testament
this isn't new.
The Old Testament Canaanites and the Old Testament Edomites have been battling against our race, and they were mongrelized at a very early time, and they descend from the Kenites, and they've been battling against our race for thousands of years. This is a 7,000-year-old struggle. This is not a new struggle.
Mm-hmm.
We do not remember history. That is our fault. The problems with the Jews, who have been driven out of every nation in Europe, it was the Jews who were behind all the Roman persecutions of early Christians.
Yes.
But the Catholic Church, you know, the Catholic Church wasn't all bad when it started out. It was a good church at one time. I mean, they didn't have everything right. There were some big mistakes made even at the Council of Nicaea, because the pagans who wanted to maintain their priesthood always had a strong upper hand politically. Now, before the Council of Nicaea, in all of the Christian writings, there's no such thing as the phrase Christian priest. It appears in Christian writings from the time of the Council of Nicaea. There are no priesthood. There is no priesthood where men rule over men and perform sacraments and save them through sacraments or benefit them through rituals in Christianity. None of that belongs in Christianity. But the Catholic Church did have one thing right. They excoriated the Jew. In the 5th century, Theodosius II, and he was the culmination of it, or really the finalization of the excoriation of the Jew from society. Under him, Christianity was made the official religion of the Roman Empire. And Jews were no longer permitted to hold public office. Jews were no longer permitted to loan Christians money at interest. St. Thomas Aquinas, he wrote that Jews shouldn't even be allowed to keep anything they gained from interest. And Jews were no longer allowed to hold Christians as slaves. And that basically, those three situations basically excoriated the Jew from Christian society for 1,000 years. And it was with the De Medicis. Yes. You see, for 1,000 years, the Jew tried to weasel his way back in. And they did get in, you know, they got in, a bunch of them got in with Charlemagne. He admitted a lot of Jews into Europe because he found them useful for their economic reasons. But eventually, they had actually infiltrated the Roman priesthood and put popes on the Roman, you know, into the papacy. And that happened especially, and it probably happened before this, but the finalization of this was with the De Medicis. The De Medicis were a Jewish banking family that supplied three popes to the Roman Church in the early 16th century, and something very important happened at this time. That's when the Catholic Church redefined the definition of usury from loaning money at interest to loaning money at too much interest. And what they had the effect of doing was legitimizing usury. And from that time, the Jew has been able to take over Europe.
You know what? I read the Prince by Machiavelli, and I think we're talking about the same family, right? Is it the Medici family?
Right, absolutely. They were Jewish doctors, and, yes. And then they became bankers, and then they became popes.
Okay. How come? Now I read this before I knew what was going on with the Jews, but how come I never knew that? How come it didn't say it at all in the book? You know, when Machiavelli was telling these people, which is the Jewish way of thinking, you can't always tell the truth because if you do, you could get burned. You can't always be the good guy because if you do, you will get scorched. And one of his famous quotes was, "It is easier to harm a kind man because he will not injure you." But I never knew they were Jewish. I assumed they were Italian.
Well, right, but you know, De Medici alone, the only people, you see, Christians were forbidden from practicing explicitly pharmakia, the administration of drugs. It's translated in the very superstitious King James translation of the 16th century, it's translated sorcery. But pharmakia in Greek means drugs. And Christians were not doctors. And the De Medici name means that they were doctors.
Oh, my goodness. Now, when you were talking about the popes, because I can only speak for, you know, living on earth about 63 years, but the Catholic Church, in my estimation, was the best that it could be during that time, the 40s, 50s, and, Vatican II really destroyed it. But those popes in the Catholic Church that were giving the Catholic Church a bad name, you know, they were getting married, they were having illegitimate children, and those children were also ruling in politics. Would those be the popes that were Jewish?
Well, I don't know that. I'm not a student of papacy in the Middle Ages except for certain very important turns of history, and because they're definitely related to what's going on today. But I'm really a student of the history of antiquity, yeah, you know, but I can talk about many things from the Middle Ages, but not everything, you know. That's the way it is.
Right.
The papacy, when the Catholic Church admitted idols and Mary worship and a whole lot of other things, and I was raised Catholic, I know what they do, and all of that was a big mistake, and none of that is Christian. That is all done in order that they could attract pagans into the church. That was all done to expand their power base. Okay? And when they forbid men from getting married, that probably happened, I think, in the 7th century or 8th century. That was a huge mistake. Because it's any normal man. And first, Paul, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, commands that bishops and ministers be married and be the husbands of one wife, because if they cannot, and the King James translates the word deacons, but it's the same Greek word, and it's translated ministers 100 times in the King James, and that word means ministers, and they have to be married, because if they can't govern their own household, how could they govern the assembly of God? And that's Paul's logic, and that's very sound logic, because once you forbid, I've had two wives and six kids. I mean, I was no saint. But, yeah, you know, it's the natural inclination for any real man, as far as I'm concerned, to want to have children. We're not all blessed with children, but we should all want them, okay?
Yes.
And you know, it's very unnatural for a man not to want to marry and have children. So when you forbid these supposed servants from getting married, Well, then what kind of man are you going to attract? So for 1,200 years, we've attracted the basest of men into the priesthood, and that's the way the Catholic Church has been operating.
I know. Now, when I was young, I wanted to be a nun also. And I think I would have been a nun, except I changed schools, and I went from the Sisters of the Poor in the dark garbs to the Dominicans. The Dominicans are horrible people. They're money hungry. They're insulting. They're into popularity. They insult each other. They were awful, awful people. So I lost a lot of what I had gained from the, at that point, probably, you know, 15 years of being in the Catholic Church. Our church looked like a cathedral. It was very holy. We sang in the choir. We sang for all of the ceremonies as us little kids, and we memorized all the Latin words to every song. I mean, it had to have been one of the holy experiences for a human being to go through, to go to one of the masses that we sang for, because we sang for the high masses, we sang for the confirmations, the communions, everything. It was exhilarating. It was exhilarating for us as kids. And we had tremendous respect for the bravery of most of the saints, you know. But yes, it all changed. It all changed. And luckily you and I don't know if you're as old as I am, but luckily you and I were raised in that, and that gave us a foundation, in my mind, to seek the truth. And there are a lot of people that had the Catholic Church background that are our age today that came to the same conclusion. You know, because of that, and people can't understand this, I can believe that Mary was not married when she became pregnant, but I can also believe that in the virgin birth, you know, that Mary was a virgin, she was not married. So I can take what seems like opposing sides to most people, and to me, it makes sense, because people are human. They're human.
Well, absolutely, but I was I'm 49. I was turned off from the Catholic Church at a very young age. I mean, by sixth grade, I was taking the money my mother gave me to go to church with, and tearing open the envelopes, and going to buy cigarettes, and going up the railroad track to smoke the cigarettes. That's the goddamn truth. And I probably used it a lot better than the Catholic Church would have used it. Mm-hmm. I was very disaffected with the Catholic Church, and realized they were all about money at a very young age, and that's and I could never buy the evolution theory. And what I did with my life was I went into law enforcement. I got myself a civil rights case about 12 years later, and went to federal prison, and spent my entire time there, reading. Studying ancient history, Greek language, and scripture.
Wait a minute, you were in law enforcement?
I was a correction supervisor for 12 years, yes, in New Jersey.
Okay. Well, I was in law enforcement also. And what happened?
Well, I caught a civil rights case. A few of my guys screwed up, and something bad happened, and I had a bad night in work and went to prison for 12 years.
Whoa. Well, what happened to me was I found out actually from a Jewish professor, that the people that started the civil rights movement were Jews.
Well, yes,
and
they
he presented all kinds. Yes, and it was true. But this man, Robert Weisberg, I didn't realize until I interviewed him a few months ago that the paper he sent to me and the audio tapes, Jews and Blacks, everything, the Goyim, wanted to know but were afraid to ask, he was actually writing that because he, as a Jew that loves Israel, was upset because the Blacks didn't appreciate what the Jews did for them. So what happened to me was I read this man's paper, I listened to his audio tapes in about 2000, by the time 2006 came, I had a really good idea what was going on. There was a changing of the guard, and the new guard has Jewish names. So I did research, and my sister and I put videos on YouTube in the fall of 2006. By about June, I think it was, of 2007, I was shocked when I went into these YouTube shows where everybody was saying, "I love Israel. I love Israel." And my sister and I looked at each other, because evidently we were raised in a bubble, and we wanted to know why. So I sent some of my videos, the Jews 2 in particular, that was pretty funny because I really butchered the word Ashkenazi and Sephardi. expert on those terms, and I put it in this Jewish room. Well, it didn't take long. Within about a month, the Jewish Federation turned me in for being anti-Semitic, and the union called me and said, hey, the Jews are upset because you put those YouTube videos on. And I'm thinking, why? Because it's not, I don't hate Jews. I don't hate blacks. I'm only telling the truth. This is what I found out. So I had to leave. I didn't end up in prison, but I tell you what, if I'd stayed, I probably would have.
Well, that's awfully brave of you, but you know, the Jews have, that they've been behind all the women's suffrage movements. They were behind the homosexual movement, that and they
yeah.
still are. They were behind the civil rights movements, and they've done it to tear apart the fabric of Christian civilization. Because the Saxon idea of freedom is economic freedom and freedom from
yeah.
tyranny and oppression. The Jewish idea of freedom is freedom to be a pervert. It's freedom to be an omnisexual beast, because that's what they are. And they have unleashed the other races, and it's always in the name of good. And they've unleashed the other races against us, and the other races cannot share our culture. They do not share our values. They never, ever will. Sure, you might be able to point to exceptions in your personal life where so-and-so seemed like a good man, and maybe he was all right, and maybe he did try. But as a unit, they just can't do it, and they never, ever will. If they could do it,
so,
they would do it in Mexico. If they could do it, they would do it in Nigeria. But they never will, and they've had 50,000 years, and they'll never do it. And wherever
right.
you bring Mexicans, you're going to end up with Mexico. Wherever you bring Africans, you're going to end up with Africa. The Jew knows it, and the Jew, that maybe the average Jew in the street doesn't know it, but his rabbis sure as hell know it, because their real goal is the destruction of white Christendom. And it has been for 7,000
yes.
years.
Yes. I as I got into this, I started to realize this is just an eternal battle of good versus evil. And then now I've identified the evil as these people that call themselves Jews.
Well, it's
now,
an absolutely genetic battle, though, and that's what we have to understand. And I get called a racist, but to me, racism is love. Because to me, racism is the desire to preserve the original creation of God. Anti-racism, or Judaism, is the desire to destroy the creation of God.
Mm-hmm.
And everything
now,
they do is, Bobby
yeah.
Fischer tells you, that's where they're headed.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, they're psychotic. I read a book called The Power Freak, and there they were. But guess what? At the end of 200 pages, after they identified these psychopaths, these people that are in positions of power, it didn't say the Jews, these people that are your manager, your boss, you know, your business owner, but they're tyrants, and they're horrible, and they're humiliating, and they're unfair. At the end of the book, it said, well, you can just pretend like you like them, or you could just move on to a different job. And I thought, wait a minute, you just identified the scum of the earth, and you're telling us to tolerate it?
Yes, that's well, they're in charge. Satan is in charge.
Yes.
Satan
mm-hmm.
are, to me, when I say Satan, I don't mean a little horned guy with a trident running around behind your shoulder trying to stab you into sin. Satan means in Hebrew the adversary. And the Jews collectively are the adversary. They are the adversary.
Yes.
They stand contrary to everything Christian and everything good and everything just. And all the same problems we had in America in the 60s and the 50s, well, which was planned. The Jews tried to pull in Germany in the 19-teens, in the period after World War II, World War I and under the Weimar Republic, and
yes.
Hitler stood up against it. We
yes.
rolled over, laid back, and enjoyed being raped.
Right, and I never understood that. Even when when I was a kid, why in the world would we ally up with Russia? It just didn't make sense. Now, my family was pretty smart, but still, I never heard anything at all against Jews when I was growing up. Now, would it be a fair assumption based on what the Jews have done in the last 7,000 years and what they've lied about, that Jews have stole our identity?
Yes, they've stolen our identity. They stole our identity today. They stole the identity of Hebrews in the century before and during the time of Christ. Yeah, you know, the first century B.C. and the first century A.D. They stole
right.
our identity as Englishmen. You know, half those English nobles sitting in Britain's parliament have Jewish blood or Jewish wives. At least half. Okay? They bought their way
yes.
into the peerage in full force in the 1800s. And if they couldn't buy their way in, they married their way in. And half those British lords and baronesses are Jews. They were doing the same thing in Germany. They did the same thing in Germany during the same period of time. Half the German nobles were Jews at one point. Now,
do you think... Yes.
The French Revolution was a Jewish revolution. The 1848 revolution. Excuse me? What was Napoleon was Corsican. And that means his ethnicity is hard to pin down. But I tend not to think that he was Jewish, but he did. And he may have been part Arab. I'm not entirely sure, because Corsica was a crossroads for Arabs and whites and Jews and all kinds of other races. That Napoleon did have, his chief of staff was a Jew. Salta, his first minister, was a Jew. And I just learned this recently myself. And it was that man that probably sold him out to the Rothschilds and cost him the war against the
yes.
British at Waterloo. And Napoleon, he
right.
wasn't Napoleon's only Jewish aide. Napoleon appointed many Jews into positions of authority in his empire. So if he wasn't a Jew, he may as well have been, because he was sure as hell in bed with enough of them.
Right, but do you think that they really understood the history of what was going on? Do you think that they really understood that the Jews were just created themselves and were against Christianity? Were they as educated as we were?
Well, it's natural for wolves to eat sheep.
Hmm.
Now, Adam Weishaupt founded the Illuminati, and most of its original members were Jews, and it attracted a lot of liberal
right.
goody-goody two-shoes, world controllers
right.
from the noble classes also. But most of its – Adam Weishaupt was a Jesuit. Most of the original members of the Illuminati were Jesuits. I believe that the Jesuits were Jewish from the beginning. The Jews could not mm-hmm. get – control of European governments as Jews. So what they did was they founded the Jesuits so they could masquerade as Catholics. And the Jesuits
yes.
came to control a great number. They had a great deal of control and infiltration in all of Europe's governments at an early time. Now,
let me ask you this.
They also infiltrated the Masons, and the Jewish the French Revolution was really a Jewish destruction of Christendom in France. That's what it really was.
Yes.
And the noble class.
Okay, there's a lot of talk about this being created. It was a European nation. Do you think that our founding fathers, Washington, Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, do you think that they were Jewish, or do you think that they created a nation that eliminated Jewish control?
Oh no! They couldn't believe that they would never believe that we'd turn this nation over to the Jews and to the and to the other races. Yeah, Benjamin Franklin. I read the biography of Benjamin Franklin and a lot of that by Carl Van Doren, written in 1936, and a lot of that was actually from Franklin's own autobiography. And Van Doren built in, filled in all the missing areas, because Franklin's autobiography was never complete. But Benjamin Franklin wrote at length about how many Saxons could populate this continent in a short period of time. And he predicted that there would be more Saxons here than in England within 50 years because of the fruitfulness of the land. Yeah, you know, and that tells me right there that he didn't care to have anything but Saxons here, and he didn't even really want the Germans here. And the Germans are as Saxon as the English are.
Correct.
If not more.
Correct.
I mean, I'm half German and half English. I might have a personal prejudice here, but the Germans are every bit as Saxon as the English are. And
correct.
Franklin was afraid that the German would be spoken in the Pennsylvania State House, because there were so many Germans in Pennsylvania. And there was also a large German community early on in New York.
Right.
But a lot
of German people.
That, you know, Jefferson wasn't really a traditional Christian. He was a Christian. He just cut out a lot of the New Testament and really only kept the sayings of Christ. And he clung to them. He was a Christian. Now, Franklin was a deist, but Franklin was probably the only one of the so-called, quote-unquote, founding fathers who it can be definitely proven to be a deist. The rest of them were certainly Christians and built this nation on Christian principles. And every one of the original state constitutions required you be a Christian to hold office and recognize Christianity as their religion. You know, there's no separation of church and state in the U.S. Constitution, none whatsoever. The First Amendment only says that Congress shall make no law regarding religion. And that we have to, in order to understand that, we have to understand what was going on at the time. In Europe, on the continent, you had a pope that wanted to rule over all the governance of man. In England, you had a king that ruled over the church. Well, the founding fathers wanted none of that on either side. They didn't. They hated the Pope. I mean, most Protestants did, because they saw Catholicism as the worship of the Pope, which in a lot of ways it is. The Popes claim to be infallible. No man is infallible. The Popes claim to be vicarius filii Dei, which means replacement for the Son of God in Latin. And the Son of God, if you're a Christian, Yahshua Christ, or Jesus, as most people call him, he's alive. A live God doesn't need a replacement. Only a dead God does. So that's awfully ambitious of the Pope. And that's why a lot of the reformers, they understood these things. And they saw Catholicism, and I like to call it Cash-olicism, and they saw it as popery. They saw it as popery, and basically that's what it is. But they also didn't want any part of the English king ruling over their religion, because a religion to them, in olden days, a religion wasn't something you practiced an hour a week on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. A religion was your way of life, and they wanted no part in the king ruling over their lives or the pope. So they made a clause that Congress shall make no law respecting religion. In other words, the government, you know, man had a freedom of religion, and it was expected to be a Christian religion in context, but man had a freedom to practice and worship as he wished. That's what that's all about. Mm-hmm. That word separation of church and state, that's a pipe dream in the mind of the Jew that the Jew has conned us into and used against us, because they control our media. They've repeated that phrase so much people think it's true. I don't care how many times you read the Constitution, you won't find it. I mean, maybe if you do a Bible code maneuver and go to every fourth letter and every tenth word, you might find it, but you're not going to find it.
Not going to find it. Well, one of the people commented that Aaron Burr, vice president, killed Alexander Hamilton, a Jew, in a duel, who was married into the Rothschild family.
Well, I didn't know that.
I
don't know about the Rothschild family thing, but I know that the story with Alexander Hamilton. His mother's name is Rachel Levine. Okay? Now, Rachel Levine was not a Jew herself, but married a Jew. Now, her first husband was a Scotsman named Hamilton. Her second husband was named Levine. All right? I haven't seen any evidence that she was actually a Jew, but there is a lot of question over whether her first husband or her second husband was Hamilton's father. And apparently the circumstances would lead us to believe that it was perhaps the second husband, the Jew, who was Hamilton's father. Now, Hamilton was raised in Jewish schools. And to me, it's only fitting that the first Secretary of the Treasury was a Jew. I mean, Judas the Apostle, he was a Jew. He was an Edomite, purposely chosen by Christ to fill the role he filled. That was on purpose. And he was an Edomite. That can be proven. And he was also the treasurer of the group. I mean, whenever there's money involved, you could expect to see a Jew at the helm. Now, we had Jews on...
Absolutely.
Well, we had, in the Civil War, there were Jews. Jews had the Secretary of the Treasury on both sides. The Secretary of the Treasury, Confederate States of America, was a Jew named Judah P. Benjamin from Louisiana. And the Secretary of Treasury for the North was Salmon T. Chase, Chase Manhattan Banking thing.
Oh, good grief. Well, let me ask you this real quick, because I've asked other people this. I don't know where the Negro came from. I don't know at what point in the creation of man the Negro came about. But you had called them Nubians, and they've been described as black and woolly-haired Ethiopians, correct?
Well, right, but the original Ethiopians were white, and they were overrun by Nubians in the 8th century B.C.
Oh. Where did these Nubians come from?
Well, they come from the African jungle, and they don't come from Scripture. There's no record of them. There's no record of their creation in Scripture. Nobody can point to any word in Genesis 1 and 2 and say that's the Nubians. Adam, which is the word for man in Genesis 1 and in Genesis 2 and in Genesis 5 and the rest of the Bible, it's not the only word for man, but it is the word for man all through the creation story. Adam means to be ruddy. Adam means to be ruddy. There's no doubt that that can be well proven in the context of all the whole Bible, wherever the word appears, that it means to be ruddy. And the ancient Hebrews did not believe in you know, they had a commandment against making portraits of themselves, but wherever they do describe themselves in Scripture, they are definitely white, they're fair, they're ruddy, they have skin like ivory. Canticles, chapter 5, verse 10, Solomon is described as having skin like ivory. His wife had skin like ivory. She had breasts like bunnies, that they were white as sheep. Uh-huh. They were white as milk. That all these, we have all of these descriptions in Scripture, and in the apocryphal literature, it's even greater. It's far greater. Noah is described as the whitest baby ever seen, I swear, and in the Book of Enoch. That these people are white all over again. And it's not that I need those descriptions to prove who they are, because the archaeological record and the historical record surely prove that these people are white, and that the inhabitants of Mesopotamia and Palestine at the time of Christ, 500 years before that, 500 years after that, were almost all white.
Yes. Well, still on the subject, you are of the belief that once human beings started to walk on the earth, they were white, correct?
Well, you know, and I have to go outside of the realm of history and into Hebrew apocryphal literature, all right? Mm-hmm. And what we have in the archaeological record, when you go back, I noticed people that there's these evolutionists that point to this Lucy creature and say, oh, there's our earliest ancestor. Well, Lucy is an ape, and subsequent finds prove that Lucy is an ape. However, you don't hear about that in the media. There was another skeleton exactly like Lucy's that was much more complete, and it's called Salem, S-A-L-E-M, by the archaeologist that discovered it, that proved beyond all doubt that Lucy is an ape, not a human. She's not our first ancestor. Just because we dig a 2-million-year-old ape out of the ground does not mean it's our ancestor. Now, the Hebrew Bible, the Hebrew apocryphal literature, they talk about these fallen angels. And I would say that in anthropology, we have Cro-Magnon man, who was obviously intelligent, and we have Neanderthal mm-hmm. man, who had a larger brain capacity than we do, but we're not positive about the intelligence part, I mean.
Correct.
These are the earliest inhabitants of Europe and the Mediterranean basin. And
yes.
and the scripture tells us, and the apocryphal books tell us about fallen angels. And these fallen angels went and mixed their seed with every kind of beast. That's in the book of Enoch. And that's also not only in the book of Enoch, but that's in the very same chapters that 2 Peter and Jude, the apostles, quote from. So they accepted those chapters as scriptural. But we don't.
Uh-huh.
The Council of Nicaea rejected them. Well, I would think that they're scriptural. That's the only thing I could see in any ancient writing that supports the creation of the non-white races. Because the Hebrew Bible does not tell us about the creation of the non-white races. Now, Christ divides the world into two races, sheep and goats. And I know who the sheep are. And that's
right.
Scripture. That's the New Testament. There's only two races, there's sheep and there's goats. It's commanded of us to be a separate people. When we integrate, we become destroyed. And there's no doubt. I could talk about these ancient empires all day long. Egypt was the
right.
greatest empire the world had ever seen. It was the greatest nation the world had ever seen. They mixed with the Nubians to the south. Eventually, they were overrun with the Nubians. And look at Egypt now. It's been a basket case for 3,000 years.
Right. So all the Jews did was reinstitute what they knew wasn't going to work. This race mixing. I mean, tearing a child out of this school and putting them in another school so there will be violence. All this chaos that was created today by the Jew is only because of his ancient knowledge that this doesn't work, and it's one way to get rid of the white race, which they totally hate, and they want it's not that they want us off the face of the earth, because they can't do that any more than we can get them off the face of the earth, but they want to be the rulers of us. Is that correct?
Well, absolutely. That they want to destroy.
Yeah.
That the people the Jews descended from, and the Jews, they have it in their genes. They want to destroy
yes.
everything that they rebelled against God, their ancestors. Their first ancestors rebelled against God. That's the story. And they, their descendants, have rebelled against God ever since. And they want to destroy the creation of God, of which the Adamic man, the Aryan man, is the pinnacle. And Hitler understood that. And I didn't
yes.
learn it from him.
Yes. No. I know what you're saying, and I never thought about it being a race issue, because I didn't know about the Jews, and I didn't know their intentions, you know, but I do now. So when we're talking about what's going on in the world today, when we're talking about Arizona enforcing their laws and keeping the illegals, getting them out of their nation, and also when they say that, well, they're going to say in the schools that Arizona is being un-American. And then when you take the situation with the USS Liberty in 1967, and Israel got away with those murders, and then you take the flotilla, which is very recent, what do you think it's going to take to get the Jews out of control? Do you think it's going to be the United States, which I don't think it is, or do you think it's going to be some other nation, whether it's going to be Turkey or it's going to be right, you know, what's going to happen?
Well, the Jews control Turkey to a great degree. They control every nation to a great degree. They don't control every nation 100%. I mean, there's always resistance within every nation to their desires. And that comes out in our modern government with things like this new law, you know, passed by Arizona. And the Jews will rally against that. The entire media will rally
yeah.
against that in unison until
yes.
they can change or defeat that. That's the way they operate, okay? It's the Jew who's calling the shots as to what is good and evil instead of God. And the scripture talks about that. It talks about the vile being no longer called liberal. It talks about the evils done by the enemies of God, and how good becomes evil and evil becomes good. And that's the state we're in today. However, no government is going to fix this. Babylon, this world economic system has to fail. And that's scriptural. We're told it's going to fail. And it's obviously a house of cards. And anybody that understands economics understands that and knows that it can fall in a day. Now basically,
yes,
we are our own worst enemy. We have to cease enriching our enemies and the enemies of God. We have to stop trading with our enemies. And all we have to do, our responsibility, the way I see it, as individuals, is to stop buying their movies. And I know it's hard.
Yes.
Stop watching that garbage on television. I mean, we'd all be a hell of a lot better off take that television and throw it out in the street. Stop buying their movies. Stop buying their music. Because all of that, stop buying their media, the newspapers, the magazines, all of that Jew trash is what's been used to destroy us.
Yes, that's what my sister and I said. You are sitting on your power. You are sitting on your wallet.
Right.
Stop buying it.
We have to buy local.
Yes.
We have to support each other. We have to buy things from other white people. We have to support white farmers. And everything you could get from local people made locally or in your area, that's what you do. You vote with your wallet. We have been the greatest sinners because we vote for our wallet. We're told to love our brother. If you go buy a made in Taiwan toaster because it's $5 cheaper than a toaster made in Minnesota, well, you've just screwed your brother out of a job. How could you love your brother?
Yes. I just heard in Ohio, my home state, last year they lost 400,000 jobs.
Right, and it's going to keep going on. They do not want an economic recovery. And I think, I can't prove it, but I think that this deal in the Gulf is a big part of that. Because it's the international Jew who supports. It's the international Jew. It's these bankers who support the green movement. Green is the new red. This green movement is Bolshevik inside and out. We don't. Of course, it sounds like it's for a great noble cause. But if we don't have energy, how could we have industry?
Yes.
We can't have industry
without
energy.
Right. I totally believe with you. I totally agree with you because Obama, they were just starting to say, we're going to drill more. We're self-sufficient. And then this oil rig disaster happens, which is not possible. And without even questioning, was it sabotage, I can tell you that since the oil disaster, they've done nothing to fix it. They have let this turn into the biggest disaster that an oil leak can possibly cause.
Well, you know, the Jew used England to gain control of much of the world for 300 years.
Yes.
And England played the whore for the Jew and still does. But, you know, England won World War II and lost her empire.
Yes.
And became one of the poorest white nations for quite some time before England could pick her economy back up again. And now she's being flooded with aliens, okay? Because the Jew doesn't care about England anymore. The parasite has used that carcass, and now it wants to destroy it. And the same thing with America. The Jew has used America to gain the rest of the world that it didn't control with England. And now America is being kicked to the curb and the Jew is building up China. So the Jew has taken all of our industry in the name of capitalism, which is evil. Capitalism is absolutely evil. I mean, communism is evil and capitalism is evil. But let's face it, there's more than two choices. Capitalism is not the free enterprise of the founders of this nation. Not by any means.
Well, again, right, but we're into a kind of a word game, and Jews love to identify something, whether it's a disease, so they can put out a drug to cure it.
Yes, they do.
Right, but
what we have with
capitalism. Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Go on.
Well, let's just talk for a second. I don't know how long you can stay. It's a few minutes after 9.
I can stay as long
as
you want. I mean, I usually do these programs for 5 hours. I've done this.
God.
Some of the people here will tell you.
Okay, let's talk about capitalism. When our country was first founded, were we a capitalist nation?
No. Yeah, you know, you could read Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations, which had a great impact on the founders of this country. It doesn't have the word capitalism in it. Free enterprise and capitalism are two different things. Capital and today's capitalism basically means that the Jews have a money printing monopoly. And you can't print it. You can't have that. They have a license to print money. And you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. They are the only ones with that license. And every dollar that comes into our economy automatically commands a dollar plus interest back. So if the economy doesn't grow, the Jew goes bankrupt. If we don't have babies and grow the economy ourselves, the Jew floods us with aliens. It's exactly what's happening all over Christendom.
Because the economy
has to grow. Well, first, it's never mind the fact that a usury-based economy is absolutely contrary to the will of God and absolutely evil. But if we have a community of 300 people and I'm the only one to create money, that can create money, and every dollar I create and loan out to you and the other 298 people automatically commands interest. It is absolutely unavoidable that the outcome is that I end up owning everything.
Right.
It might take 100 years, but I end up owning everything. Well, that's what we have with the Federal Reserve.
Yes.
It's absolutely unavoidable. It's the only consequence possible. Is that the Jewish bankers that own the Federal Reserve end up owning everything.
But, you know, the Jew uses the money to own everything and control everything, but the Jew has no respect for the money because many Jews launder money and they end up in the federal prisons and they serve 14 months and then they go back to their multi-million-dollar lives because they've hid the money. Yes, and then our government, incredibly, and this happened with my sister's ex-husband because she was fortunately, married to a Jew, and that's how I found out that they are cunning linguists. You know, they know the language and they use it against us. But he served time in federal prison, and what he did was he didn't pay well over $6 million in taxes. So he turns on his employees. So what he went to prison for was actually money structuring. He opened 19 bank accounts in one day because he was moving to Hawaii. So I learned a lot about Jews, and I found out they don't respect money because when he got out of prison, within about a year, when it came up for renewal, the other $3 million that he owed the government didn't renew it. In other words, they forgave him $3 million. And that's what
happens. It happens all the time.
Yep.
And look at how many, look at the Mark Rich case. Look at the Bernard Goldberg case. He sold missile technology to China for billions of dollars and paid a couple of million dollars in fines. Mark Rich was the Jew that Clinton pardoned blatantly.
Right.
I mean, it's done time and again. It's done every administration.
Was he the Jew that he pardoned when he was leaving office before Bush came in?
Yes.
Oh. Good grief.
They all do it. It happens with every administration.
Yeah. Well, Clinton also pardoned those Puerto Rican terrorists. that it killed several people bombing our country.
Work,
I think it was in the Midwest.
If you do the work of the Bolsheviks, you end up like Bill Ayers. You end up teaching our children. That's what Bill
right.
Ayers is doing. Yeah, you know, but if you do anything wrong and your political persuasions are right-wing or conservative, you end up like me and end up doing 14 years in the clink. I mean, that's the way it is.
And I'm very, very, very sorry that happened. Bobby serves 14 months for bilking our government out of over six, maybe even $20 million. And then you and other people that are out there have gone to prison for the wrong reason. I mean, that was one of the things that bothered me in law enforcement was this pleading down to a lesser charge. We're not talking about the murderers or the rapists, but we're talking about common citizens that plead down to a lesser charge because they can't afford an attorney, they can't afford to lose any more time off of their job, and therefore they plead to a lesser charge, not realizing that that's on their record. You know, the system is totally messed up.
Well, the whole
you know,
drug
here's
war
these
is
cops.
Wrong in the beginning. The whole drug war is wrong. I'm sorry. I don't believe in drugs, believe me. I don't believe it.
I don't
I mean, the Christian Bible says no pharmakia, and that means mm-hmm. recreational drugs as well as medicinal ones. And either we put our
right.
faith in God and the things that he has supplied us to keep our health, which I believe in natural medicine, but we
yeah.
don't put our faith in the Jewish pharmaceutical industry, which the Rockefellers have controlled since its inception.
But you know what? Yes. I'm sorry, but you know what, Bill? Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say all of these things lend to the destruction of our nation. And the drug war
yes.
has been extremely destructive of our nation. Well, we have built
right.
a tyranny in the name of drugs.
Yes, but when we look at what kind of person doesn't do drugs, I mean, you don't, I don't, I know other people that don't. Those are people that they really care about themselves. You know, they didn't really want to do anything, although we've all done foolish things. They didn't really want to do anything that would destroy their lives or put them in a situation where they weren't functioning mentally correct. Well, evidently, there's a lot of people in this nation that don't care that they're not functioning mentally correct. You know, there are a lot of people that don't take drugs, but the ones that do, there's too many of them. So in other words, it depends on how you're raised. If you're raised with confidence, if there was someone in your life that dearly cared about you, whether it was a parent or it was a grandparent or it was a teacher, but somebody dearly cared about you and they gave you a reality that you matter in life. So if you grow up and you're free of drugs, then you can help other people. You know, I think there's helpers in the world and there's victims. And I think that helpers become police officers and correction officers, and then the victims become drug users. What do you think?
Well, let's and I mean, a lot of cops I know and have known over my life honestly think that they're doing good, and they believe they are, and they do a lot of good, but they also do a lot that's not really good in the name of the system. However, that's
yes.
they think they're doing good, and that's their job, and somebody's going to fill that position. And I don't blame them personally. I really don't, because I was there myself, and I understand. I thought I was doing good. Well, it happens
right.
where I'm from, you know, Jersey City, very few of the criminals are white. I mean, we may have had four or five
right.
people a year in jail that were white. And so it really never bothered me. Yeah, you know what I mean? Because I always looked at all the others as basically belonging in the cage anyway. I'm just being frank. I mean, that's my life's experience from where I grew up. Now, that might sound cruel, but I still don't think it's cruel, but that's the way it is. So I really don't blame the cops. And there are many good cops that do good, even though sometimes they get caught up in cases where it appears that the people that end up doing the time or getting hit in the head are the ones that probably shouldn't have been. I mean, there's bad cases all the time, right? And sometimes
right.
there's things happen that are just evil, like Randy Weaver or Gordon Cal. And those
right.
cops, I mean, well, the guy that shot Weaver's wife is an alien anyway. He should never be a cop in a white nation. That's the way I see it. That's a disgrace. That, to me, is a disgrace to allow our people to be ruled over by aliens. That's totally anti-Christian. It's totally anti-biblical. And that is the biggest disgrace. And that includes our current president. We should never.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely anti-Christian to allow our people to be ruled over by aliens.
Well, I don't consider him a president. It just... Now, next week, it's interesting because I have a guy on named RV Wolfpack who totally despises cops. Now, he likes me, but I'm telling you, this is going to be a very interesting show because it's on that issue. I had to do it in little increments, and I didn't even know if I was going to have a good show because my recorder kept conking out. But when I put it together, it's going to be a really good show. So discussing the subject of cops is going to be next week, next week's show. But what we're talking about today.
We can't blame the government for being evil. Everybody in the government for the government's being evil. Yeah, you know, we need government in this world. I mean, we can all recognize that. Every sane man can recognize that the world needs government to function. And the question has not been whether or not we should have government. The question has always been how much government. And today we
right.
have a tyranny. We have a tyranny because a multicultural nation, that's an oxymoron, I'm sorry. The definition of a nation comes from the Roman word natio, which comes from natus, which means birth. In order to be patriotic, we have to have a common patriarch. You might be patriotic,
yeah.
but if you're not, if we don't have a common patriarch, we sure as hell can't be patriotic together. And that's just the natural law. Now, if the definition of an empire is one government ruling multiple nations or ethnicities, that's an empire. And there has not been an empire in history that has not been a tyranny. Today, we don't have a government. We have a tyranny. But that doesn't mean
yes.
that we don't need government. We need governance. And that doesn't mean that everybody in government is bad. And most
right.
people in government are probably, and I'm talking about state, county, federal, most people in government are probably good people at their core. Except that this current, the way America is today, they love to promote every sort of sexual deviant into high positions.
Mm-hmm.
And our government's definitely being guided by evil forces. But that doesn't make everybody in government evil.
Correct. That's what I say. I had mentioned to you that I got a degree in political science because I understood government as it had to do with policing, and I didn't like it very much. So I got my degree in political science to find out what government is about. And in the end, I found that politics is the enemy. Politics is lying. And even if you're talking about a little soccer team and someone says, oh, it's getting political, that means somebody is lying. So, you know, we got to get rid of the word democracy. We got to get rid of the word capitalism. And we must get rid of politics because that's a bad word. It describes what's going on in our nation today, but that should not be going on in our nation.
Well, if our founding fathers only had more foresight, but it's easy to judge them in hindsight. In Athens,
yes.
in ancient Athens, there was a democracy. And a lot of mm-hmm. people compared the ancient Athenian democracy to the American democracy. The ancient Athenian democracy, only males of age, which was at the time 20, who were descended from the primary founding families of Athens, had a right to vote. Women didn't vote,
yeah.
and aliens never voted. And no matter how long they lived in Athens. Now, there is writing that some aliens had bought their ways onto the rolls at various times. Everything becomes corrupt over time. That's the way it is. But technically,
right.
Aliens never were able to vote. No matter how long you lived in Athens, no matter how many generations, you could not vote, and neither could your children. So there was no citizenship by birth, okay? And that's the way it should
mm-hmm.
be. You can't become a Saxon by birth, and you shouldn't, you know, an American, an original American is a Saxon in America, and nobody should have been able to become an American by birth. So the Founding Fathers, I think, really dropped the ball on that one, but they really didn't seek to control that in the first place. They left citizenship up to the various states, because this nation was founded, this government was founded as a collection of 13 sovereign nations. They were 13 sovereign nations.
Yes.
All right? There was not supposed to be any such concept as a citizen of the United States. And that was a tyrannical federal imposition on the states, that 14th Amendment. It was evil.
Yes.
It wasn't
yes.
part of the design. And that broke the design that this republic was founded upon. So
yes.
the democracy of Athens, it had – and another thing the democracy of Athens did was outlawed political parties. They could not – you could not
yeah.
have political – they saw them as dangerous factions. And there was writing about that in the Federalist and Anti-Federalist papers when this country was founded. But they never outlawed political parties, and they probably should have.
Yes, they should have, because I was just in a discussion with Mark Weber of the Institute for Historical Review, and we were talking about the 17th Amendment and the way our system was set up. There were two parties, so that when everybody voted, the person that got the most votes became the president, and the person that got the second amount of votes became the vice president. And it was set up to actually do the most good for the nation, for the people.
Well, right. There would have been no party system. It wasn't needed.
Right. I don't think we can get rid of the party system, do you?
Well, it's corrupted us. And there was a Supreme Court decision that did more to corrupt this nation than anything else, and most people are totally oblivious to it, and that's a very obscure decision. It's Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific Railroad Company, and it was a Supreme Court decision in 1886, and that Supreme Court decision gave corporations the same rights as persons and status as persons under the law. Now, Thomas Jefferson wrote, "Beware of permanent persons." And we forgot, because a corporation, that Supreme Court decision made a corporation a permanent person with all the rights of free speech that the common citizen has. Now, how could you have equal rights under the law when a corporation with hundreds of billions of dollars has the same right of free to has the ability to practice the same right of free speech as you, who has nothing, maybe, or comparatively? How could you outspend that corporation? You can't do that. No way. And,
right.
and that was
Did
probably
you say
the 1886, Santa Clara County
okay.
versus the Southern Pacific Railroad Company. Most evil. That was probably the most evil act in the history of our government. That was even more evil than the Federal Reserve, I think, because it made corporations people and gave them a voice in the public arena and in government. Otherwise,
well, don't you remember,
if it weren't for that Supreme Court decision, there would be no corporate money in our elections.
Oh, gosh. Well, you remember recently corporations went to the Supreme Court and said, well, you know, the media is protected by the First Amendment, so therefore corporations need to be protected by the First Amendment. But I didn't know about that case law back in 1886 that basically almost gave corporations the same rights that they have today. See, if we could get rid of corporations and the media being protected by the First Amendment, then we could get rid of the filthy, dirty Jewish movies and videos and rap music that's put out there.
Well, that's why we're told that Babylon's going to fall. I mean, I believe the system's going to fall, and we have to come out of it. And we have to stop supporting it. And that, if you're looking as an individual to do, I mean, besides spreading the word, and I know you work hard to do that in one way or another, even though it may not be the whole Christian identity scriptural doctrine, I know that you try to spread
right.
awareness. And I've seen you plenty of times in my program, you know, the programs I do with Eli. But aside from that, the individual, the best thing any individual can do is just get out of the system. Rip up your credit cards. Stop buying into this credit. Credit is a scheme, and it keeps the system going. And that's the biggest thing that keeps the system going. It is people's thirst for credit. Because every time you take out a loan, that's how the Jew creates his money. When you take out a loan, the Jew creates that money. It doesn't exist. It's created out of thin air, and you, who actually created the money, now have to pay it back to the Jew. So he gets real
Correct.
Dollars back for dollars that he created out of nothing. That's how the
yes.
system works. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's worse than the Wizard of Oz ever portrayed it.
It is so difficult, though, to get people to understand that. Like my sister and I, we started out with the Patriot Dames. We were on a year on another station, and now we're on those anymore. And she is helpful cards, and she doesn't get it. You know, I mean, I know that her home isn't worth what it was 10 years ago, but you know, sell the house, get out of debt, buy a house you can afford, and live the correct American way. But if I can't get my sister to do it, how are we going to get most Americans to do it?
Well, right, but what they have to do is understand that they are supporting the destroyers of our nation by supporting the credit system, by supporting Hollywood, by supporting Nashville, by buying the records, by buying the pornography especially, by buying the television. They're supporting all of our enemies.
Yes.
By buying the media. Stop supporting our enemies. Stop embracing Satan. That's what you're doing. You're embracing Satan. Stop giving your money to organized religions because they have all embraced Satan. If you have money to give it away,
right.
you go find a young white girl with a white baby and give it to her. You go find a young, struggling white couple and give it to them. As long as you know they're not going to spend it on crack, that's the best thing you could do with your money.
You are amazing. I can't believe that I never met you before.
Well, thanks, but I know you've heard me because I've seen your name, unless it was your sister, in the forums I do with Eli.
Right, right. I was in with Pastor Eli. He's had some great people on. He had a caseworker with Child Protective Services on, and I tried to get that caseworker on, but he wouldn't answer any of my emails or answer any of my calls. You know, people are suspicious, but at some point you have to, like, the people in here, they know me. You know, they know that I was a cop, that I spoke out against the Jews, and I lost my job because of it. I use my real name, Susan Pertee. You know, I use my real name. I'm not afraid. Let them come for me. I've got my gun ready. And they don't. They're not coming for me. Because what they do is they try to use fear. We're going to come for you. Or we're going to put you in prison. We're going to, you know, so... Just get out of it. I have no credit cards. I'm incognito. I don't want them to find me. I'm not going to stay in one place very long. I'm sick of this system. But let me ask you this. If we get rid of the credit cards and we do not buy the movies and endorse the Jew-run companies or the cable companies, if we do that, what are we going to fall back on? How are we, as engineers, as teachers, how are we going to step up to the plate and enable our nation to survive?
Well, you know something? You know, these Negroes have this hurricane in Louisiana, and they cry for the government. But Iowa gets flooded,
right,
and they don't cry for the government. They get off their asses, right, and fix their houses. Yeah, you know, my ancestors came here in the 1600s in New England, and they didn't cry to the king every time a snowstorm caved their roof in. They got off their asses and,
yes,
built a new roof. Garden,
yes,
and gardening's important. If you could raise your own food, raise your own food. I mean, you don't have to,
yes,
become a hermit, but it's the things. It's not the things that we have to do that hurt us. We need jobs. We need to go to the grocery store. I mean, even I go to Walmart once a month when,
right,
I have to, and I buy only exactly what I need, and I always make sure it's made here. And Walmart does have,
right,
some stuff made here, and a lot of stuff, if it's not made here, I don't need it. I don't buy it. That's what we have, the way we have to think, and you know, we buy what we have to and not what we want to, and that big first,
right,
step, cutting out all the crap we don't need that we buy from our enemies, that big first step, that's a big step, and that's the most logical first step, I think, and getting out of the credit game. Don't I said this the other night on a program. I got a 93 Ford Taurus. I'm going to drive that sucker into the ground. And when I when it goes, I'm going to buy the best car for cash that I could buy when it goes. And that's,
mm-hmm,
I'm not going to take out – I could take out an auto loan. I'm not going to take out an auto loan. I'd love a big 2004,
mm-hmm,
Dodge pickup truck. I'm not going to buy it. That I'm going to do without. That's the way it is. That's what – we have to learn to live on our means. And within our means,
mm-hmm,
and to stop embracing our enemies. And that's what's killing,
yes,
us. And they will cry. I mean, they if enough of us did that, and it wouldn't take as many as you think, and they would start crying,
mm-hmm,
and this system will fall apart. And it's going to fall anyway. But, you know, it's better to be mentally prepared. And if you get out of the system now, and when I say get out of the system, I mean get away from all the garbage that you don't need. Get away from the cheap entertainment, the sports, all that's that's idol worship anyway. I mean, these people, they,
mm-hmm,
go to church on Sunday, they sit around the rest of the weekend worshiping these Negroes for running a ball up and down the field. They're not Christians.
Right.
They think they're Christians. They're devils. That they may as well be. They may as well be Jews.
Right.
That's how they're
right. Well, right. I had met a man that worked at a tire place. I mean, he was not the guy that did the tires, but he had been in the tire business for like, I don't know, 20, 30 years. And I met him, and he was a nice guy. His name was Charlie. And so I very seldom date anymore because I just don't have time. I don't have time. It's very difficult to meet people that are normal, you know, that are normal men, which I believe that you are, and I'm sad that you're so far away and so young. But anyway, I met Charlie, and Charlie was my age, and we went out to, they have a casino down here in Florida. Oh gosh, I don't remember what the name of it is, but it's where that, that, what was her name? Smith, that female died.
The pig,
Nicole
I know
Smith,
who you mean.
Or,
the pig,
okay,
I know,
okay,
who you mean.
Yes,
no, that's
thank
what
you.
I consider.
Okay. Well, she was amazing. And so we go to this casino, and it was really cool. They had nice restaurants. You could walk around. There were little disco places where you could dance. It was like a little city. And then we went to some – I took another friend of mine and her husband, and we went out to some little Irish pub, and we had a great – dinner. So I went out with him for about a month. And then one Sunday we went to the Riverside. I'm sorry. It's called the, it's a place where people go on the weekends, and it's on the New River. I think it's called the New River down in Fort Lauderdale. And it was all white people. And all these white people, there were thousands of them. No police were looking, no police were around. It was really a nice experience. They had their dogs, they had their kids. It was really nice. They had restaurants there and musicians there, little bands that were playing. It was really nice. So then the last time that we went out, there was a thing on the radio. We were in a car, and they were talking about the terrorist and Hamas and Hezbollah and the terrorists. And I said to him, don't people realize that the Mossad is a terrorist group? You know, I just wish people would understand what's going on. And he said to me, Susan, all I care about is my family and my friends. I don't want to get into anything political. Well, that was the end. I don't know why that put me off, but it did. In other words, he was living a good life. He was making very, very good money. He was living in a beautiful apartment overlooked in the Intercoastal with his son, who I think was 40 years old. You know, he was a nice kid. He was not on drugs anymore, which was really good. But that comment showed me that this is an American that's letting the system continue. I mean, what is your comment about that? It just made me crazy.
Well, most Americans, they prefer comfort and the esteem of men rather than the esteem of God. I believe that in order to have the esteem of God, you need to pursue the things of God, which means a total care for your own brethren, meaning your racial kinsmen, and to identify the enemy and not to embrace him. You don't have to. We don't have to go wipe them out. They'll just go away when we stop loving them.
Right.
They'll just go away. If we'd stop buying their BS, they would just go away. They wouldn't be able to rule over us.
Yes.
We've been
buying their BS
for 500 years, and they've taken us over because we have embraced them. We've taken the enemies of Christ, the enemies of our God, and we've elevated them to the position of God, and they've elevated themselves to that position. And the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, tells us they do that, and we help them. And that keeps me up because we that's our biggest error. And the Mossad has actually infiltrated every Arab nation, and they played them like harlequins. They played them like marionettes. It's all an animated stage. The Mossad runs Hamas. The Mossad keeps that up so that they can keep bleeding us for money, so that they could keep their persecuted people image going, so that they can continue to infiltrate our governments, so that they could continue to set our moral standards. Yet, you know, cops, I'm considered absolutely evil, and all the Christian identity and everybody that calls or labels themselves with anything that we believe is considered absolutely evil by our own government. And that's because everything our government learns about religion, it learns about from the ADL. And pagans don't fear the government, the Jews, and the ADL. And mainstream Christians don't either. But we put fear in our hearts, simply fear in their hearts, simply because of what we believe. But everything I believe, I can pull out of old books and prove it.
Right. Well, let me tell you, what happened with me was when I was exposed, because I'm a cop, and the ADL trains the cops to hate the Muslims. They're the bad guys. They're the terrorists. When I came out with what I thought was the truth, which it is the truth, even when I look at those old videos, it is the truth. What they did was they went national. The Jews made the major mistake of thinking they were going to use me as an example of what was bad in America. It totally backfired on them. My sister was on CNN with Rick Sanchez. He tried to do a hatchet job on her. It didn't work. So after 2 weeks of my story going national, the Jews just ignored me. Gone. They don't say anything else because I was a major threat to the Jewish control. And I'm really proud of that.
well, right. And that's why they really slam Christian identity. But when you go to the ADL website, what you see is Pete Peters and Dave Barley. And neither of them are really Christian identity. And that's because they don't want to lead people to an Eli James or to a Clifton Emma Heiser.
Right.
But who
Eli James.
Who basically, you know, Eli and I, we don't agree 100%, but we agree 98%, and we've been working together for a long time. But yet, you know, right. Eli will lay it out as it is, and so will Clifton. That's the truth. That is what Christian identity is. And these other people that claim to be Ted Wieland, he's not Christian identity because he doesn't identify the enemy. You have to
right.
have both sides of the coin, the people of God and
right.
his enemies. You have to know who the sheep are, and you have to know who the goats are.
I know. Well, we're going to wind up this show. So sometimes, let me ask you this. Sometimes I get a little discouraged with the white man. I'm sorry that there's so many white people that won't identify themselves, that won't speak out against the bad people, that won't get rid of their credit cards. So what do you say to people like me? What can you say that will keep me going?
Well, you know something? The truth does hurt. But you can't get discouraged because the book tells us that in the end, we win.
Excellent. We're going to end on that note. Bill, I thank you. Several of the people have asked that you come back. I hope you will be willing to come back to my show again.
Sure. Anytime.
Okay. All right. You are an amazing person. I am so proud to actually talk to you in person. You're a very sensible man. You're a good man. I can't really say any more than that. And everyone in here loves you also. And they're praising Yahweh, and I'm praising the good. And that's all I can ask. Thank you, Bill. You're very, very welcome, buddy. I'll talk to you very soon.
Sure.
And I thank all you Americans for being with us tonight. I'm very pleased to have met William Fink. I want you to go to his website if you already haven't. I'm sure you have. And I will visit his site more. I've done a lot of research on his site. And I'm very, very impressed with this. And I thank God. Thank you, God, for these men. Join us next week. I'm going to have a man that totally despises cops, and it's going to be a good listen. It's going to be really good.
Let me say that we met, and he despises me too, but that's all right. I just had to throw that in there. And thank you, and bless you, and good night.
Thank you, sir. Thanks, Bill. I'll talk to you later.
All
right, America. Praise Yahweh. Thank you very, very much. Talk to all you guys next week. Thanks for being with us. And yes, John, we do need more women. I'll tell you what, sometimes I think women are the salvation because white men are being beat down. So thank you guys. Good night, America. I love you all.
This show was brought to you by the Patriot Dames. Please visit Susie and Barbara's website at www.thepatriotdames.net and donate. The Patriot Dames is a copyright name and logo, and any uses of it are prohibited. You are now leaving the Patriot Dames radio show. Have a safe journey until next Thursday at 8 p.m. Good night, America.